That was Henry Mancini. And the title of that track was Orson Around. Yes, Orson, O-R-S-O-N. That's off the Touch of Evil soundtrack. And I played that because preceding that was Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater with their treatment of the immortal Sherlock Holmes. I want to apologize about the quality of that. Its original air date was the 25th of September, 1938. Through the archive there, it didn't sound so bad when I previewed it at my own studio, but at this one, an actual radio studio, it didn't sound all that zippy. And this is a special edition of the Grand Hour with Arthur. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford and or WMFO.org. Tomorrow I'll return with a double billing. I'm going to play a Sherlock Holmes in the first set, and the second set's going to be Gunsmoke, so one for the adventure western double billing. And then I got a guest here with me this morning, the 31st of July, the MLB trade deadline, non-waiver trade deadline. So we got Andy in here tracking down all the baseball movements and transactions this morning. And I think we're going to be here for a little bit longer. I'm going to play something here from the library, the WMFO library. Off the record called When Radio Was King. It's just kind of, I haven't really previewed it. I know there's probably not any bad language. So as long as it's in the library, it should be all right. Thanks for listening. Whoever's listening, whoever's archiving, I'm skipping work too, so you're free to listen at work.
By special recording, The Lone Ranger. A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver. The Lone Ranger.
The greatest free show on earth, adventure, comedy, drama. It all came tumbling out of the airwaves night after night when radio was king. Turn the switch, set the dial, sit back, and remember.
With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse, Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let go, big fella. I am Silver. Hooray!
The champions of law and order were everywhere. Some legal, some extra legal. Gangbusters told it like it was. But the shadow, who knows?
And now, Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, the only national program with authentic police case histories.
Gangbusters presents the case of the Mound City safecracker, who found that a flask of liquor was more risky to handle than a vial of nitroglycerin.
Mm-hmm. hearts of men. The Shadow knows.
The Shadow, who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret: the hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. Today's drama, The Giant of Madras. At 9:15 of a stormy spring evening, Lamont and Margot were sitting in the lounge car of a deluxe transcontinental train.
And there was the ultimate sleuth, the impeccable Sherlock Holmes. In the final problem, the story in which Sir Arthur Conan Doyle tried to dispose of the fictitious detective because he'd grown weary of writing about him, Holmes is lured to his apparent death at the Falls of Reichenbach by his implacable enemy, Professor Moriarty.
The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. We present the original stories of the late Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, dramatized anew with Sir John Gielgud as Sherlock Holmes, Sir Ralph Richardson as Dr. Watson, and today, Orson Welles as Professor Moriarty.
It is with a heavy heart that I come before you with the last adventure of my friend Sherlock Holmes that I shall be able to relate. I have tried in my humble way to chronicle some of our exploits together, to demonstrate the singular gifts of that most remarkable of men. It lies with me now to tell you what occurred between Holmes and his arch enemy, Professor Moriarty, when at last they came face to face.
Not till after Monday, Professor. You know as well as I do that you've made a slip, one single tiny slip. For years I've been aware of you, Moriarty, at the center of your organization. Forgeries, murder cases, robberies. 1,000 crimes were planned by you. 100 agents carried them out. Your subordinates were caught sometimes, but you never were. And yet, you know, you made that slip, that single tiny slip. And you know as well as I do that it will destroy you. In 3 more days, my evidence will be complete. I shall have you exposed, brought to trial, condemned, and hanged. And you can do nothing whatever to prevent it. My will is inflexible.
And so is mine. 3 days, do you say? And before they're out, the end will come. One or the other of us must die, sir.
Quite so. The 5 minutes is up, Professor, and I must really ask you to excuse me. In the pleasure of our conversation, I'm afraid that I've neglected business of importance elsewhere.
Very well, then. Seems a pity, Mr. Holmes, that I've done what I could. I admit that it's been an intellectual pleasure, me, to see the way in which you grappled with this affair, but I tell you solemnly, Sherlock Holmes, that if you are clever enough to bring destruction on me, you may rest assured that I shall do as much to you.
You have paid me several compliments during this interview, Professor. Let me pay you one in return when I say that if I were assured of the former eventuality, I would most cheerfully accept the latter.
I can promise you the one, but not the other. Good day, Mr. Holmes.
Oh, your pistol, Professor. You may need it before Monday.
Thank you.
Good day, Professor.
I think goodbye is the word, Mr. Sherlock Holmes. Goodbye.
The end. The end.
Before the pets had their own department stores. Radio was the first in electronic entertainment to begin to erode our human sensibilities. And here, on WMFO 91.5 FM, those cornerstones of decadence, those radio dramatists from the golden age of radio, are resurrected on the Grand Hour with Arthur. Wednesdays from 6 to 7 a.m. Change your clothes, change your calendar, believe the dial right here at 91.5 FM WMFO and or WMFO.org. Touch Freeform Radio.
Now to continue.
Broken pathway. It was only too clear what had happened. It needed no great application of Holmes' own methods of deduction. Two sets of footsteps to the verge, and none returning. Locked in each other's arms as they fought, they had gone down to the abyss.
And then there was a different kind of adventure when radio was king. Family life. Well, a kind of family life. George Burns and Gracie Allen.
I wonder why Gracie's folks want to sell the house. Gracie!
Oh, George, a terrible thing just happened.
Well, never mind. Why do your folks...
Guess what? I dropped Herman's sardines on your clean shirt.
Oh, fine. Look, Gracie...
And the starch got all over his sardines. Isn't that awful?
Look, Gracie, why all of a sudden do your folks want to sell the house?
Oh, well, San Francisco is a long way from Hollywood, and I decided it would be nice if Mama and Daddy and Bessie and Willie didn't live so far away from us.
You mean like in Santa Barbara?
No, not that far away.
Glendale?
No, not that far.
Closer?
Yeah, much closer.
Next door to us?
Not that far away.
Gracie.
You guessed it.
Well, that's without a doubt the worst thing I ever heard.
Yeah, now I gotta get Herman some more sardines.
Oh.
I just can't give up the old house.
Well, I knew you'd see it that way. These lovely old things.
Come in.
Hello. Oh, pardon me, miss. I'm a neighbor. I'm returning Mrs. Allen's umbrella.
Why, Mrs. Ferguson. Well, you haven't changed a bit. Well, don't you recognize me? I'm little Gracie Allen. I always used to call you Aunt Margaret.
You did?
Yes. Of course I did.
Well, that's funny. My name is Pauline.
Well, aren't you Margaret Ferguson, whose husband used to work in the Emporium?
Oh, no. I'm Pauline Townsend, whose husband is a bum.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I made a mistake.
Believe me, it was nothing compared to mine. Goodbye.
Oh, I can just see the family as it used to be years ago. Just a simple, average American family, doing the everyday things that families do. A mother making fudge in the bedroom. A father spinning his top on the piano. My grandfather in his shorts boxing with the upstairs maid.
Just a simple American family.
Come in.
My name is Dinsmore, and my wife is interested in buying this house, so may I look through it?
Oh, yes, you'll love it, Mr. Dinsmore. Gracie, show him the bedroom with the furnace in it.
You have the furnace in the bedroom?
Oh, yes. You see, Papa hated to get up in the morning and go all the way upstairs to the cellar, so...
The cellar is upstairs?
Well, of course.
Well, what's in the basement?
You mean beside the attic? Just a sun porch. I didn't think it was worth mentioning because it gets very little sun.
Well, I'll be darned.
You haven't heard anything yet.
I should say not.
You see, Mr. Dinsmore, you're wasting your time.
Well, my wife wants it. That's all I know.
Gracie, tell him about the bathroom.
Oh, that wouldn't interest him.
Oh, yes, it would. Is there anything the matter with it?
Oh, of course there's nothing the matter with it. You just don't happen to have one, that's all.
That's all.
You haven't got a bathroom?
No.
That's all.
If you want to brush your teeth or take a bath, you just go into the library. You'll find everything there.
I don't understand.
Well, it's very simple. My father used to carry on something terrible in the morning, and the sound of rubbing in. And all the neighbors could hear it. So my mother fixed it up like it is now. The
There. Now are you satisfied, Mr. Dinsmore?
You know, I always say that it takes a heap of humble house to make a living home like no place be it ever so.
Just a sample of a simple, everyday American family. But radio had those, too. From the Bronx, the Goldbergs.
You want more coffee, Mort?
No, dear, I'll just finish what I have here, dear. Just pass me that little cookie, yeah, darling?
Yeah?
I have a habit. If I don't chew a cookie, I can't finish my coffee. Just a little cookie.
Here, Mort.
Thank you very much. You want a cookie, Jay, dear?
Oh, thank you.
Another cup of coffee, maybe?
No, I'm enough.
I wish I could drink coffee without sugar. Rosalie, look a little bit thinner.
Uh-huh.
Two days I've been without sugar. I've got to take sugar again. Oh, it's a habit. You like. Finished. So take back the cookie. I'll do the dishes, Rosalie, darling. Why don't you go for a little walk?
With who?
What do you mean, with who? Question. You have no friends suddenly, all of a sudden? With who? Call Marjorie, call Jacqueline.
I don't feel like going anyplace. I'll do the dishes, Mom.
If the child has no desire to go out, why are you
so... All right. What did I say? It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. Why shouldn't she go out a little bit? Maybe take a dip. Maybe take a row. Take a wading in the brook. Well, what the girls are doing now? You wanted shorts. I bought you shorts. Mama, darling, buy me shorts so I can go. Mama, darling, I want not only shorts. I bought you, what do you call that? That blue thing, the play suit. So why shouldn't you go a little bit? All right. I only said...
And from the Midwest, another Molly, with her Fibber McGee, Maya Latrivia, and, of course, McGee's famous hall closet.
Hello there, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, hi, Latrivia.
Hello, Molly. Good day, McGee. Here are the extra ashtrays you wanted to borrow for your card party, Molly.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor.
Yeah, much obliged, Latriv. You know who's going to be here tonight? Now toss your hair back so you'll have room to raise your eyebrows.
Orgidia Blakewell Butler, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Oh, that's splendid. It'll be nice to see her again.
Oh, are you acquainted personal with this Butler beetle, Latriv?
Well, I have met her, McGee. Mm-hmm. Rather charming person, really. Oh. She went to college with my sister. Got her bachelor's degree the same year.
Her what, Mr. Mayor?
Her bachelor's degree.
Gee, that's tough, Latriv. What if she changes her mind and wants to get married?
What's that got to do with it? She can still get married.
With a bachelor's degree?
Take it easy there now, Latrivia. As a college man yourself, you know you can't practice law with a medical degree.
Of course not, but a bachelor's degree
isn't...
And
if your college makes you a bachelor, that's legal, isn't it?
Naturally, it's legal, but you don't see...
So, if you're legally a bachelor and then you get married, that's illegal, isn't it?
No, it is not. The legality of the matter is not...
Now, just a darn minute there, Latrivia. By George, I'm pretty liberal in my views. But when a city official advocates tearing down our school system...
I advocated no such thing, McGee. And you know it. The mere fact that a person gets a bachelor's degree does not prevent him or her from getting married.
But if they do get married, they have to tear up their bachelor's degree, don't they?
No. No, they do not.
Oh.
My sister is married and has three children, and her bachelor's degree hangs on the wall of her library.
Oh, those poor kids.
Well, this is the most shameful thing I ever heard, Your Honor.
Oh, for goodness sake, look. What I'm trying to say is that a bachelor's degree is a purely honorary
degree. What's so honorary about promising to be a bachelor and then turning around and getting married?
That has nothing to do with it. When you get a degree as a basket, as a bachelor, you're not required to maintain anything. It's merely that we, everybody, the scholastics,
McGee.
Yes, Your Honor.
Let's go fishing one of these days.
Why, he'd just love to, Mr. Mayor, wouldn't you, dearie?
Why, you betcha, Latrivia. Hey, what gave you the idea all of a sudden?
Well, it just occurred to me that after all the years that you've been baiting me, we ought to do something about it. Now, if I may have my hat.
No, Mr. Mayor, not in...
No, that's the whole car. Don't open the door.
Adler trivia one of these days.
That was Family Life on Radio at Night.
Okay, that was when radio was king. Little snippets of some of the more prominent radio dramas at the time. The Flipper, McGee and Molly. It's interesting. They had a little segment on that because Andrew here found that one of those dramas down in the basement of the house I live in. I don't know if I'll ever get around to playing that during the regular show. They also had the snippet of Orson Welles playing Professor Moriarty in that Sherlock Holmes, which actually we just heard, a while back, Orson Welles playing the role of Sherlock Holmes. I don't really think Orson Welles did that good of a job with Sherlock Holmes. It sounded too much like him and not British enough for my liking. That being said, the parking meter is beckoning. Had to pay for parking today. For all any tough DJs that are listening, I understand your dilemmas with parking. My regular showtime, I don't have to worry about parking anywhere. I'm going to close this out with a couple of songs from the WMFO library. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford at Tufts Freeform Radio.
Boom, 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 boom.
boom, 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 boom.
And you are tuned into WMFO in Medford. 91.5 FM. Tufts Educational Radio.
the sound of saxophone. And I remember being this close, but never alone. You gave me a little something to take home. I dropped it on the floor. I dropped it on the floor. I dropped it on the floor. I dropped it. Remember the name, that's enough for me. His name's hold the key. Names hold the key. If I can only remember the name, that's enough for me. His name's hold the key. Names hold the key. A souvenir of nothing.
91.5 WMFO.
On the web at WMFO.org.
Leave room for your growth tomorrow.
For me to cry, it's just the hardest thing I've ever done. And it's a shame, you know, but it's ingrained, you know. Boys, don't cry. Boys, don't cry. Thank you. you left, all I wanted was to say goodbye. I was scared, you know, and I was mad, you know, but boys don't cry, boys don't cry. Try and try to change your mind, like one man pulling a train down the line. It takes time, I know, but who has time, you know. Boys don't cry, boys don't cry. Kick and scream, cause a scene. Take your anger out with someone else. Steal the car, race the car. Don't you dare, no, don't you dare cry. And I must admit, all jokes aside, I find some men beautiful, some girls handsome, some children wise. And I hope someday, before I die, I can share the kiss that brings tears to my eyes. And it's a shame, you know, but it's ingrained, you know. Boys don't cry, boys don't cry. No, no, baby. Boys don't cry, boys don't cry. No, no, no. For me to cry, it's just the hardest thing.
You all and you. You're listening to TK on 91.5 FM, WMFO.